Stand for the reading of God's Word, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we'll read the first two verses. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishop and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we put under the microscope and then up on the billboard, under the spotlights, this wonderful, wonderful word called grace. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd have a sense of what you've done, an appreciation for what you've done, and an understanding about your love and your sacrifice. Lord, I don't know if there's a word in the Bible that's more important. I'm not sure that there's not a word in the Bible that tells us more about our great God. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, as we take just a few minutes tonight and examine this wonderful word called grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My sister gave me a heart attack. I walked back in from my trip and walked into my office, and somebody had come in and straightened my desk. It's going to take me 2 weeks to get it disorganized enough for me to find things. But she even labeled all of my manila folders. I know. Why do you need a type label when I've written right on there what it is? Of course, I write it in code so nobody else knows what that says but me, you know. But you just can't be too careful in the ministry, you know. So, But I've got a file. If you set my desk left-hand side, down at the bottom, I've got a file drawer with several files that I access quite often. And this I pull out every once in a while. This is my grace file. This is my grace file. That's what it says, grace. Leave it alone. That's what it says. Stay out of that drawer, okay? This is my grace file. Several years ago, and I mentioned this last Sunday, I think, several years ago, I just decided in my personal devotions to do a word study on grace. I don't know if I've benefited from any word study I've ever done more than I benefited from that word study. Here, I've got typed out in this file, in the New Testament alone. Also, I've got a section on the Old Testament. But 122 times in the New Testament, you'll find the word grace. And that's all the verses right there. And every once in a while, I just pull this out and start reading all of the verses on grace in the Bible. About a third of the way through, I start having a fit. And about three-fourths of the way through, I'm lifted up to the seventh heaven, see visions unseen by man. And by the time I get to the end of the list, I'm a full-fledged Baptist-costal. And you know why? Because grace is a wonderful word. Grace is a wonderful word. And then I've got in this file, too, scribbled. And again, this coded writing that only I can read. Several pages here, whereas I studied through this word, I've got 75 different Bible principles connected with the word grace that God taught me as I was studying through it. And then I will sometimes just start reading them and thinking about the verses and the principles that are connected with them. And folks, let me tell you something, and we're not going to be long tonight. We got a business meeting, so I'm going to talk fast, I'm going to talk short, but I want you to get it. Folks, I don't know if we really have a good enough grasp of this word. And I'm not sure just how much this word would change us if we would let it. Folks, everything that we do, everything that we partake of is because of the grace of Almighty God. Now, you may be sitting there saying, no, Brother Jerry, I've earned some things, or I've worked for some things, or I'm deserving of some things. Let me tell you something. You need to get in the Bible and chase the word grace around. Because the honest truth is, I take the next breath only because of the grace of God. I didn't eat today because Jerry Ross deserves to eat. I ate because of the grace of God. I won't go home to a wife today because I deserve her. It's just the grace of Almighty God. That's just grace. And I don't ever accomplish anything for God because of anything that's in me. It's just an absolute act of grace every time God uses one of us poor old saved sinners. It is an absolute act of grace that God would use Jerry Ross to do or accomplish anything. And if you really, listen, why are you going to heaven, Brother Jerry? Grace. Why do you have a mansion waiting for you, Grace? Why are you going to get a new body one of these days, Grace? Why are you going to live in a mansion one of these days, Grace? That's it. Now, this word grace means unmerited favor, unmerited favor. And what that is saying, I know that's the phrase we use, but what grace is God extending his forgiveness and favor to an unworthy sinner. Did you get that? Grace is God extending his forgiveness and favor to an unworthy sinner. And John Newton knew about grace. You know the story. Most of you know about his life and know his biography, and perhaps have at least know the part of his life surrounding the writing of Amazing Grace. But here was an old scoundrel. Here was a man that had done some of the most unspeakable things a human being could do, an old slave trader. And yet the grace of God reached all the way down and found him and changed him and saved him and put him in the ministry and put a pen in his hand and caused him to write these verses. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How gracious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know why that old wicked man was turned into a preacher? You know why that old wicked slave trader was able to write these verses? Grace! 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 Oh, but Brother Jerry, it took a lot of grace to save a John Newton. Let me tell you something. It takes a lot of grace to save a 5-year-old kid that's grown up in church. It takes the same amount of grace to save us all, folks. I mean, the Bible says if you're guilty into breaking one law, you're guilty of it all. God says our righteousness, the absolutely best of the best of the best of the best of the purest thing we've ever done for God, if we held it up and compared it to the righteousness of God, it would look like filthy rags. Did you get that? Did you get that? Do you understand the depths of that? And so we can't for one second fall in the trap of thinking that anything that happens or anything we're accomplished or anything that God blesses and allows us to do is because of our own merit or our own goodness or because we live a certain way better than somebody else. Every single thing that we accomplish in life and God lets us see and lets us enjoy and lets us experience that's good and right and holy is because of the grace of Almighty God. The grace of Almighty God. And the apostle here is writing to the church of Philippi, and he does something that he does often. Let me find my little list here of the word grace, and I highlighted some. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he wrote this, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. He's stuck on that. And then he writes over in 1 Corinthians 1:3, "Grace be unto you," when he's writing the church of Corinth, the first letter, "grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians, he starts the letter, second verse, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, wait a minute. Listen, this isn't an accident. You say, oh, Paul was in the habit. You know, some people say, "Dear so-and-so." Some people have opening statements. This is the inspired word of God. This is what the Holy Spirit knew. The first thing that was always offered by the Apostle Paul towards a church or an individual that he was writing was grace. And then quickly after that, peace. We're going to study next week about peace, Lord willing. And by the way, we'll see this amazing connection between the two. You see, grace and peace, 2 Corinthians 1:2, "grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 1:3, he opens the letter by saying, "grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1:2, "grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians 1:2, we read, "grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians 1:2, "to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, "grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians, "grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, very interesting. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, the pastoral epistles, he says this, when he's writing a young preacher, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. 2 Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace. Titus, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Then when he goes back to Philemon, grace to you and peace from God the Father. We're going to preach about that, but I think it's interesting. You know why? God knew the preachers would need a lot of mercy. They would just need the mercy of Almighty God. And so he extended that mercy to them. Now, you know what he's saying, Pastor? I'm saying this word's important. Of all the things Paul could have offered them or suggested to them, of all the things the Holy Spirit could have inspired him to point them to in the opening remarks of every single letter that he practically wrote, the first word that was out of his mouth after the salutation was grace! Grace! You're going to need grace, church! You're going to need the grace of God, and it comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. And so isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing, you see? Saving grace. We all needed that, didn't we? We all needed that. You know, genuine salvation can only be accessed through grace. That's why you are in dire danger when you claim to have been saved and want to credit yourself with any part of that. You cannot be saved except by the grace of God. You cannot be saved except by the grace of God. You say, yeah, but I did accept Jesus my Savior, but I also had to. You cannot be saved except by the grace of God. Listen, it's either faith or works. You can't have it both ways. And listen, if you try to add works to faith, then it's no longer faith. You try to add faith to works, it's no longer works. You got to make up your mind what you believe. Stop trying to mix the two. You either come to God and you deserve nothing. You receive unmerited favor. God saves you because of what He is, not because of what you are. You either come that way or you're not going to get it. By the way, by grace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. By the way, grace precedes faith. Without the grace of God being offered, our faith means nothing. Our faith cannot, listen, our faith means nothing. We could, listen, if God didn't offer us grace, we could have all the faith we wanted to, and it wouldn't have provided salvation. You know why? Because grace had to come first. Unmerited favor. Salvation can only be accessed through grace. Salvation by grace produces a humble, appreciative spirit. Salvation by grace produces a humble, appreciative spirit. You know why? Because I was lost. I was doomed. I was hell bound. There was no hope for me. And yet God stepped forth. Jesus stepped forth from heaven and offered grace. Offered an old sinner, unmerited, extended to me, unmerited forgiveness, unmerited favor. He extended that to me. I didn't deserve it. There wasn't one ounce of anything in me, not one cell of my body, not one thought in my mind, not one deed could I hold up that would cause God to say, oh, there's something good. Okay, I'll save them. We had nothing. And yet the grace of God came down and saved us and provided us for saving. Brother Jerry, why are you saved? Grace. Why are you saved? Grace. Folks, when you think about Jesus, you ought to think about grace. When you think about Calvary, you ought to think about grace. When you think of 3 days and three nights, you ought to think about grace. When you think of the resurrection on the first Easter morning, you ought to think about grace. When you think of the day that you got saved, you ought to think about grace. When you have a chance to give you the privilege of giving your testimony, you ought to think about grace. When you think of the sins being buried in the deepest sea, you ought to think about grace. When you think of your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you ought to think about the word grace. When you think about heaven, you ought to think about grace. Well, that was exciting. Brings back a lot of memories. Here's a gal, Reverend Sister Angie, starts talking about Rock Run Baptist Church. I remember when Pastor Ross got saved. I remember Sister Dawn. I know how she got saved. You know what I think about when I think about Rock Run Baptist Church? Grace! Grace, grace, grace. Didn't deserve it. Didn't merit it. Nothing in me. God could have passed me over. God could have said He's not worth it. Jesus could have said, no, I'm not going to go down and die. I mean, Jesus could have, in Gethsemane, could have just said, you know what, enough of this stuff. I don't have to put up with this. He could have called down the angels from heaven, come down and rescued him, said, you know what, send a whole lot of them to hell. And you know what, he'd have been just and right to do it. He'd have been just and right to do it. But you know what? Thank God for His grace. Now, we all need that saving grace. But you know, a lot of times we don't understand that once we're saved, we still need a whole lot of grace. We still need a whole lot of grace. I like this. If I can see if I can find the song again. That 244. Yes. I like the second verse. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. You know, what you need after saving grace is you need growing grace. You know what takes grace to grow in the Christian life? Say, what is that grace again you're talking about? It's talking about unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. You know, God just has to keep supplying us favor and forgiveness all through the growing process. We don't deserve it. We do nothing to earn it, but God still allows us to grow by grace. Now, folks, listen, when you read your Bible, you know what? It takes the grace of God to understand it. When God blesses you with a new truth from the Scriptures, you know what? It's because of His grace. He doesn't have to do that. He didn't do it because I've earned it somehow or I deserve it somehow. I know what I deserve, but you know what He does? He opens the Bible to me. Well, that must mean I have a special place. Must mean I've done some awful good thing. No, He just does that because of His grace. It takes grace to grow. And when I bow my head and talk to God, and I know that He hears me, He only hears me because of His grace. When you walk into church and you get a set in the church, folks, you know why we're sitting here today? Not because we're Americans, we deserve this. We're sitting here because of the grace of Almighty God, the unmerited favor. Well, listen, we could be scrambling around, hiding out, meeting in underground churches, sneaking through back alleys or back properties to meet in a barn somewhere and share a couple of pages from the Bible and talk about Jesus at the fear of sirens and guns and arrest. But you know what? God's given us grace. God has given us His grace. You know what? I get to sing. You know why I get to sing? Because of the grace of Almighty God. When the offering plate's passed, you know what? I get to give to God. You know why? Because of His grace. Because of His graciousness to me. When we stand and read the Bible together in church, you know what? Everybody in here maybe ought to whisper, grace, 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 all during the reading of the Scripture. When the Holy Spirit blesses you during a message and speaks to you and teaches you something or talks to you or brings you to a decision, you know what? He's doing that because of His grace. It takes grace to grow. The invitation is given, and we have an opportunity to come to an old-fashioned altar when we ought to make that trip often, if for no other reason, to thank God for His grace. Thank you, God, for Your unmerited favor. Thank You for taking care of me, taking care of my family, for all that You provided for. Now, folks, listen, some of you are newly saved. Say, what? How did I get saved, Brother Jerry? I'm still trying to grasp it all. What happened was God cared about you and showed you favor and forgiveness, not because me or you ever deserved it, but because He loved us, and He simply decided to do it. He decided to rescue sinners. Jesus came and died on a cross, not because we're worth saving, just because He's worthy. And He knew if He would save somebody that was unworthy, it would bring glory and honor to His name. And boy, it sure ought to. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just going to finish up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Well, I hope you love this word. There's no way I can take hours and hours, tens of hundreds of hours of Bible study, all that God's touched my heart about, all that God conveyed to me during those weeks and months, and try to package them in a Bible study. But I'll tell you this, when I read the letter to the Philippians, and I hear the first word that comes out of Paul when he gets past introducing himself, and that first word is grace, I totally understand that. We better start with grace. We better start with grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's look at verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. Watch this. Well, you know what? We not only need saving grace and growing grace, we need living grace. The grace to live the Christian life. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, wait a minute. How did we finally get down to the bottom of that verse? Where we are actually able to do a good work? I'll tell you what, because at the beginning of that verse, grace was offered to us. Grace abounded towards us. God, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That ye, how? Through His grace, because of His grace, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Why do I have the ability or the wherewithal or the willingness or the hunger or the desire or anything to go out and do any good thing for God? I'll tell you what, because of the grace of God. That's not naturally in me. It's not a part of this old sinful flesh. That's not a part of the fallen nature to want to do right or want to do good. It's the grace of God that drives me forth. It's the grace of God that wants me to live right. James chapter 1, let's go there. James chapter 1. Verse number 17. James 1, verse number 17. I love this verse. I love it. I love it. Memorized this when I was a teenager. And love this verse. Love it. James chapter 1 and verse number 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Did you get that? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now listen, anything that good that happens, let's just everybody start pointing and saying, you know what, that was because of God's grace. Man, did you hear about this happening? Woo! Wow, that was the grace of God. Hey, did you hear about this good thing? Hey, that's the grace of God. Hey, did you hear about this? Listen, such and such bus route had so many on it. That's the grace of God. Hey, so-and-so at the nursing home saw somebody say, that's the grace of God. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. It takes, listen, every gift is an act of grace. Every gift is an act of grace. Every privilege we receive to serve God is an act of grace. It's an act of grace. You get an opportunity to preach, it's an act of grace. You get an opportunity to serve. You get an opportunity to usher. You get an opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. You know, hey, stop sitting around thinking, I don't get this and I deserve it. You know what? You don't want what you deserve, and I don't want what I deserve. Well, I can't believe they don't give me my just due. Woo! Stand back. You don't want your just due. Oh, I just want my rights. You don't want your rights. I just want what's coming to me. No, you don't. Neither do I. You know what I want? Grace. I want the grace of God upon my life. Now, let me go to Acts chapter 7 and we'll wrap this thing up. Folks, listen to me. We need saving grace and growing grace and living grace. But you know what? If God gives us all of those, and He does, I expect when the time comes, He'll give us dying grace. Dying grace. You know, I went and visited, spent probably an hour and a half with Robert Petz this afternoon. And, you know, if God doesn't perform a miracle tonight, tomorrow, next day, sometime probably next week, they're guessing, estimating, you know, who knows. That listen, the time of a man is in the hands of God. You know, it's appointed unto man. It's appointed unto man. It's appointed unto man once. I don't know when that appointment is. I don't know when that appointment is for him, and I don't know when it is for me. But I know this, when the time comes where we have to pass over, the same God that provided me saving grace and growing grace and living grace is going to provide me dying grace. Amen. Now, Brother Jerry, I don't know. What if I got some horrible disease? And that, let me tell you something. Let's take a look at a brother that knew a little bit about grace, Acts chapter 7. And Brother Jerry, I might contract some horrible disease. I might get cancer or something else. I might die a horrible death. How in the world will I be able to be sustained? Verse number 59 and 60 of Acts chapter 7. Watch this. And they stoned Stephen. Well, that's a pretty bad death. That's a pretty horrible way to die. Have you ever pictured that? Have you ever thought about that? I don't know of maybe a worse way to die than to stand surrounded by a bunch of crazy men with large stones in their hand, hurling them with all their might at you over and over again till every ounce of life and breath is crushed out of you. That's a pretty horrible way to die. But notice the grace of God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. Let me comfort you a little bit here. Well, Brother Jerry, I had a relative, they died a horrible death. Let me tell you, a Christian never dies a horrible death. I believe that. Brother Jerry, how could they say he fell asleep? Did you hear what they were saying? He bowed down, kneeled down, the stones are coming, they're plummeting his body. Let me tell you what I believe. I'll just tell you what Brother Jerry Ross believes, and if you've got scriptures that can show me otherwise, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe at the point of death, when death is at night at the door, I believe for the child of God, God reaches down with His grace and encompasses and surrounds them in a marvelous, sweet, special way. And we may look at that old frame and it may seem to be racked with pain and miserable, but I'm going to tell you something. They're in the hands of God. And if Stephen can die this horrible death, and yet the Holy Spirit, who knew what really transpired in those last few seconds, who knew what transpired, inspired the writer to write, and he fell asleep. I suppose whatever we have to face at the end of the road, maybe God will be there, and he'll just, that same God will encompass us with his grace. And you know what? No matter what or how we die, I have a feeling the grace of God is greater and more powerful than anything that we have to face on this earth. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a comfort, is it not? God provided saving grace, growing grace, living grace, and when the time comes, He'll provide with us dying grace. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We need the grace of God, folks. We need His grace. So let's ask for that tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you need the saving grace of God. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? Maybe you need His saving grace. Maybe you're just here today and say, Brother Jerry, nobody knows everything that's happening, and they don't have to. But there's some things in my life I'm facing that's awful difficult, and boy, I need the grace of Almighty God. Hey, let me tell you something. Did you hear that special song last Sunday night? Grace, grace, marvelous grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Did you get, I mean, boy, it's there. It's available at the throne, at the throne, at the throne of what? Heavenly Father, bless the invitation in Jesus' name.